Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by a singer, songwriter, and tequila guy who has evolved from his Miami, Oklahoma root and out touring, keeping it country. His latest single, which he joined forces with Randy Rogers, is Tequila Cowboys. We welcome John Wolfe.
How you doing, man? Good to be here.
Absolutely great, John. Let's go beyond the mic. From your song, Tequila Cowboys, quote, "We're bankers and lawyers in fine tailored suits. We're bikers and truckers in old leather boots," unquote. Why has country music changed for the better and the worse?
You know, I think that line when Randy came over to write that song, I mean, we just wanted something that, you know, I think you look back on the concept of camaraderie, crossing over between, you know, so we all have these different jobs, these different lives, but this common thing, this sort of, I guess you could say, common line that runs through country music is getting together and there's always sort of something, some commonality between us all. And that's what this song's all about. And I think, you know, as it pertains to country music, in my opinion, I mean, you know, the commercialization of country music is it's always been there, of course, but I feel like it's just gone to like the next level nowadays. And I feel like we're missing some stories and story songs, and we're missing, you know, there's, I think a lot of the, you know, a lot of these messages that we used to get with Waylon and Willie, and you didn't have to sing about relationships all the time. You didn't have to. And so that's where I think that country music today has gotten a little predictable. I think on the good end of things, I mean, there's a lot of young guys that are coming up now that are tapping into that older school thing. And I think that the genre is accepting a lot of different styles of songwriting. So I think there's a lot of positivity there as these young guys are coming up.
Why are you trying to bring country music back, kicking and screaming where it needs to be, in your opinion?
Man, you know, it's kind of funny because so we were talking about today's officially, we're right after the Labor Day holiday, and I feel like it's a Monday today. So my cat was just messing with my computer screen here. The struggle continues. So, you know, I think it's kind of interesting because, you know, I'm kind of becoming in Texas one of the older guys, right? I mean, I've been around a minute, and I've seen that when I first came out, It All Happened in Honky Tonk came out 15 years ago, you know, and it's funny because when I signed my first record deal in Nashville with Warner Brothers, bro country hit big time. And I started looking around going, I don't look like and act like these other guys. So this might be my cue to leave the building. And so, you know, I think it was really tough for me at that time. And so I guess what I'm getting at is I've kind of been doing this same thing since the beginning of my career. And it really hasn't changed for me, but I just feel like that there's, you know, there's a really great environment for traditional country right now. And, you know, Jake Worthington and Braxton Keith and, you know, of course, Zach Topps making this big, big thing. And in Texas, there's, you know, Josh Ward's been doing it a long time. Cody Johnson, don't forget about Cody Johnson, that really created this modern door, I think. I mean, man, Cody almost feels like a trailblazer in a way, too. So I just think we owe it to the genre. I think we owe it to Waylon Jennings, you know, to you know, the guys that did this thing to keep that traditional arm of the brand going.
John, you helped raise $115,000 for Texas flood relief at Green Hall. My wife's from Fredericksburg, so I know why it's important. But why was it important for you?
My wife and I live in the Hill Country now. We lived in Austin forever, which is not far from, technically it is still kind of the Hill Country, but we live just west of New Braunfels. And, you know, I mean, it's such a catastrophic event. I mean, it's historical. And I just think, you know, since we've been here in New Braunfels, we've seen the community rally around us and help us as we've come to town. And it hasn't been anything of that level or that nature. You know, I just wanted to be a part of the community, a part of giving back, and working with Green Hall really, you know, allowed it to be a situation that was very legitimate. I want to make sure that when people donate their money and spend their hard earned money and time to come see artists, that money goes exactly to where it needs to go. And so to have that opportunity with Green Hall, I jumped on it and said, hey man, I'll help put this together and call some of my buddies, and they all showed up. So it was a pretty emotional day. And it was awesome to see these guys, you know, show up for it. I mean, Walker Montgomery flew in from Nashville. I called Tracy Bird and he's like, heck yeah, man. And I said, hey man, do we need to have a place for your bus? He's like, nah, man, I'm going to jump in my truck with my guitar. And I'm like, that's country right there, dude. So it was just really awesome to see that happen.
The lone wolf himself, John Wolf, out on the road and singing Tequila Cowboys. And John, it's time for the Rocky and 80 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There's no pressure.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not feeling that, but okay. Give it to me.
What's the best thing about your wife, Amber? And remember, she's right behind you.
Everything. That's my answer. Everything. She's just the rock star. You name it. That's all I can say. She's the best at everything.
One thing you wish you learned before you started Juan Lobo Tequila.
How hard the tequila business really is.
Instant follow-up time. Which is the favorite of all your products?
I love our Blanco tequila.
Favorite cigar you've ever smoked?
I'm going to have to say a Monte Cristo.
Very nice. John, admit it. Who caught the bigger fish, you or your wife?
I have caught the biggest fish.
How big was it?
Well, the biggest one we caught was in Cabo a couple of years ago. And it was like a 275 pound marlin, and took forever. And my muscles and my back and my arms paid for it. So Amber was happy to give me that one.
I've relaxed on both Grand and Fort Cobb lakes in Oklahoma. Would you rather be relaxing on a lake or on the ski slopes?
I'm a lake guy. Yeah.
You've played at Austin City Limits, Green, Luckenbach, and the Grand Old Opry. Where's your dream place to play?
My dream place to play. I think I would say I would love to headline the Ryman.
Wow.
Yeah. I got to play the Ryman with Aaron Watson a few years ago, and I had a short period of time, but I would love to headline the Ryman.
Who bought you your first cowboy hat, and do you still have it?
I bought it, and I would say my first felt is when I first started out in Houston, Texas, playing beer joints, and I went to the hat store that was in the River Oaks area, and he made a felt for me, and I still have it.
Who in country music now influences and motivates you today?
You know, I think, I this is a good question because, and I'm not kissing his ass, that's for sure. But I go way back with Cody Johnson, and looking at his sort of trajectory and his, I guess his the way his brand has grown, knowing him at the very beginning of his career and where he is now, and understanding his work ethic and his consistency, it's really inspiring and motivating to me.
John Wolf joins us beyond the mic. And John, it's time for the back half. You've teamed up with Randy Rogers and did a little Truth or Tequila with him. How many takes didn't make the final video cut?
Well, there's some stuff that we couldn't sort of play for the public. I'd say there are two or three of them that they were like, okay, cut.
Your life transformed from trading oil with British Petroleum to making music after an Alabama concert. how has your music evolved from Almost Gone to now?
Well, I think, I definitely feel like that we've grown on a production level. So I think in terms of, not saying that my old records sounded better or worse than what I'm doing now, but I feel like that I've found more and more as to what is, what really fits me, I would say. I think that, you know, some people explore the boundaries of music for them, and that might mean I'm going to go explore all the way out here to this thing that is more, maybe it's more rock or more, pop or that type of thing. I feel like I've sort of, chosen to explore within the world of traditional country. And so whether that's something that kind of leans into something that might be a George Strait type thing, or leans into, my new stuff, I feel like leans into more of like a, Merle Haggard, really more down that, and maybe some stuff that's outlaw, like the single that just came out before Tequila Cowboys is Older I Get, More Country I'm Getting to Be. I feel like that's like the most Hank Jr. I've ever been, and so I'm kind of leaning into some of this outlaw stuff. And I also think that with Dave Brainerd, my producer, making music's never been more fun. When I used to make records, I was always so stressed out, man. I don't know what it was. It was kind of, the recording process was torturous to me. And I don't take myself as serious as I used to. And so I have more fun, and I've got a great team that helps me find what I'm looking for creatively.
How did the pandemic change the way you treasure music and your career?
It's interesting. I think obviously you couldn't really see that coming. You weren't prepared for it in any way. And then many times along the way, you're questioning, you're really questioning what it all is, right? So you're kind of going, I remember telling my guys, like, hey man, this is just going to be a quick deal. I think we're going to be back at it in 2 months. And you're processing what's happening. And I'm sorry for these long answers, man, because you're asking some great questions. I kind of, all of a sudden you're stuck there with your thoughts and your feelings and what are we going to do? What am I going to do financially? It really spurred on that record that came out for me. It got me thinking about, at the time, I feel like that my fan base and my career at that point in time was at a high point, where we were playing shows, more sold out shows, biggest ticket sales, and singing every song. These were massive sing-alongs from, Baby This, Baby That, Play Me Something I Can Drink To, Airport Kiss, Boots on a Dance Floor. I wanted to write a record and cut a record that gave them something different and dug in deeper for me. And so that's what created Dos Corazones, where I wrote that record in a adobe casa in the Chihuahuan desert out in Terlingua. So A Cowgirl Like You, Two Hearts in Terlingua. That is definitely a shift in my career moving forward. So the pandemic brought that along. And I think I appreciate the art a lot more post-pandemic. Just, I didn't write as much for some of those records before. And this is just really spurred me to write more and to dig in more to the art.
Why is your Wolfpack, your fans, more important than anything? Well, almost anything in your life.
Well, I mean, I think it's really, you know, you start off in country music. I tell a lot of people that, you know, probably the first, you know, 5 years, I kind of look at 2010 as the beginning of my sort of commercial career with it all happening in a honky tonk. But there were 5 years before that, in and out of Nashville. I had lost a record deal. But the shows I played, I knew everybody there, you know? So it was like, it's your mom, it's your, you know, your cousin that came in, you know, you kind of know everybody in a way, and they're supporting you, a handful of friends. And, you know, I think, when I put out It All Happened Honky Tonk, people started showing up that I didn't know. And you go, wow, okay, they're coming to hear these songs. And that begins a, you know, really a relationship with your fans that, is kind of not, it's not easy to describe, because it sculpts the way you write songs. It sculpts the way you produce records. It changes your experience night to night. So I feel like that relationship, I always feel like if I'm going to love the song, if I love the song and I feel passionate about it and I love the record, I feel like my fans will love the record. And at the same time, if you feel like you don't really have the best show, or, you know, man, it really can be upsetting, you know? So I feel like that in nights that you feel like, you know what, I'm pretty down, and maybe my ticket sales have been down, and then they show up and they sing along, that can bring you back, man. So it's really quite a relationship that you develop, and it's been really impressive to see a lot of these folks stick with me for so many years. So, you know, it's really something that, it's tough to describe for sure.
John, when people come and see you play, what do you want them to take away from your music?
Man, I feel like that I always try to, I like to cover a handful of bases. I mean, I want people to have a good time, you know? So, you know, a lot of my music is historically has been, you know, relatively high energy, relatively up-tempo country. I want them to feel like they saw something authentic. Is really important. I would say that my fans, we've sort of bonded over the lyrics. I think that's really been a big thing with my fan base too. You know, I wouldn't put me in the category as, you know, there's some songs that are, my producer says there's music, there's lean in and there's lean back. You know, and I feel like I don't lean in as much as Zach Bryan. You know, I know that's a very, very lyrical thing. And then I have some stuff that's lean back. But most of my stuff is kind of right in between. We're really, yeah, kind of chilling right there. And I want them to have a good time. I want them to sing the lyrics. I hope those lyrics, you know, connect with them. And I that's what I want them to go away with, you know. And there's some songs that are, you know, a song called Singing Thing that I wrote about my life starting out in country music. I know that's kind of like an emotional song. And so I hope I get to that place with my fans, but I like to keep them right in there, loving the lyrics, having a good time, and going home with good vibes.
When you're out on the road touring, what's the one comfort item from home you have to have with you?
Man, my tour bus.
Other than your tour bus.
Okay. Man, that's such a good question. You know, it's funny because I probably should be more relaxed on the road. I'm not as much as I should be. I'm going to point to my Nespresso. That's where I'm going to go. I have to have a Nespresso, man. I'm kind of a little bit of a, maybe I've drank so much coffee over the years, I've kind of become a coffee snob. So I have to have my good Nespresso machine rolling.
Nespresso, John Wolf would love a sponsorship.
I'm ready.
A question I ask musicians, and I know it's an unfair one. If you were to lose your voice forever, what would you do with the rest of your life? And what would you want your final words people to hear?
Whoa. I think about, I have a lot of interest in life. I'm kind of a creative. So my wife and I have been really working really hard on our house. We're junkers in a way, and we work really hard on our landscape. We're amateur gardeners as well.
You were even cutting the lawn on Labor Day.
I was, man. I'm kind of hooked on it. So, you know, I kind of feel like if I lost my voice, I could do something kind of home or property related. I really enjoy it. I like being out. And so I'd have to figure out how to become a professional landscape designer. I think that's what I would do.
What about those final words?
My final words would be probably play me something I can drink to.
John, you'll play anywhere anyone wants to pay you and almost anywhere, anytime. How has music changed you forever?
Well, I think, I think it's definitely when you get on this side of the music, I think there are times that you can become a little jaded potentially because you're always listening with a critical ear. And I think the longer I've gone down the road in country music, the more I've had to remind myself to enjoy music, you know, because that's what it's about. And I think that's a special gift that being in this has really changed me. I'm able to just really, you know, being in it this long, sit back and go, hey, man, let's listen to this really great, you know, Zach Top record that just came out. This is his way of expressing himself. Let's listen to this old Frank Sinatra record. So I think that's really just given me more appreciation for it.
It's time for the impossible question with John Wolfe Beyond the Mic. John, if you had to get rid of one thing, your wife, country music, or drink liquor forever, which one gets the heave-ho?
I'm going sober right now anyways, dude. That's easy. Get rid of drinking. I'm good with it. I'm too damn old for it anyways.
If you could bottle it up, what makes a great country song?
Man, I think what makes a great country music song is, I think is, I'm going to say authenticity. Something that artist is, when you hear a real authentic song, whether you agree with the songwriting style or the rhyme scheme or whatever, it doesn't matter. If it's them being themselves and it's authentic, that's what makes a great country song.
Who is the one person that is your dream to sing for, to, or with?
Well, you know, I started out playing a private New Year's party for George Strait, and his nephew was my first manager for the 5 years. And, being around George, so I've sang at his New Year's party. I've kind of sang for him, but I've never sang with him. And I just love George, man. You know, he's just so cool to be around. So I'm going to say George Strait.
It's time for one big question with John Wolfe Beyond the Mic. What has been your darkest day in country music so far, and what has been your brightest?
You know, I would say my brightest day in country music was my debut at the Grand Ole Opry. You know, it was a whole day prepping for that moment. And it had taken a long time to get there. It was only a few years ago, I guess 2 or 3 years ago. And, I think that was just a huge special day for me, big time, in lots of ways. My darkest day in country music, you know, when you own a tour bus, it kind of seems to, We might just want to say my top five.
Is this when your tour bus breaks down?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that those are always the darkest days, man. When your tour bus breaks down, I mean, rank the top five ones. You know, I've had some tough ones in country music. I actually lost my voice mid show a few weeks ago, and you just feel so awful about it. And you know, and I've had breakdowns. You know, this year this has been a really challenging year for me. And I do point it to tour bus problems financially. Those are tough days. So I wish I could name the one day, but I'm going to have to just say there's been a handful of tough ones.
John, how does family make it better?
Well, you know, I think, you know, Amber's always, you know, pushing me to keep going. And, you know, I would put family as family and friends for us, and my mom and our friends that support me. And, you know, at the end of the day, when you're thinking about country music, I had a manager that used to say, dude, thank God we're not brain surgeons. You know, there are bigger things in life, and there are bigger people to do bigger jobs. And so you just have to remember, like anybody that has a bad day at work, you can go home and, you know, have a shot of tequila or put something on the grill and spend some time with your friends, and you're going to wake up and try again the next day.
He once caught a 275-pound marlin. Making music is now fun again.
That's right.
I want you to hear Tequila Cowboys. John Wolfe, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.